Hey everyone, I'm here and I'm late and I'm sorry. Even my makeup looks like, I was having technical difficulties coming on today. And those technical difficulties had 100% to do with me. I'm on some new medication and vitamins, and for some reason my clock is sort of like, loop-de-loo, so gonna have to adjust that just a wee bit. So today I really want to dive into throwing things love and light. You know, one of the things I'm trying to get all settled, and I apologize for my fruitfulness, which is totally a word. You know, one of the things that as, you know, many of us who have been on the spiritual path, we learn to lead with love and to send things love, to send things light. But there are times when you are confronted with things, especially like the political climate, the natural disasters, where emotions other than love come forward, right? Emotions other than love come forward. And so how do we as spiritual beings navigate that without nullifying it? And something, you know, I think if it's been sort of a theme throughout these master chats to really talk about what that means to really send something love, to be, you know, to send something love versus doing it as a spiritual bypass. And it's interesting that the number one thing that we don't want to feel as spiritual beings is anger, hurt, fear, shame. What else? All of the darker energies, right? All of those emotions that we deem as bad. When we do that, when we actually deem these energies as bad, what happens is we scramble for the most accessible tool, which is like, oh no, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I'm sending you love. I'm sending you love. And when we come from that place of like, almost like it goes back to that knee-jerk reaction, right? The knee-jerk reaction sometimes is the anger or the, you know, protestation. But on the flip side of that, the other knee jerk that we do is we try to spiritually, you know, sugarcoat what it is that we're feeling so that we no longer feel it. And we say, oh, but we must send all things love. And I'm not sure that that's true-ish. Yes, if we were perfect, amazing beings, if we were the frickin' Buddha, then sending things love and showing it compassion, even in the face of terror, even in the face of witnessing acts of war right in front of you, having acts of war committed against you, to be able to stay in that state of perfect love and compassion is, I mean, that's an ideal, right? And I don't know that I am capable, and I'm just going to out myself right now. I don't know that I'm capable of that all of the time. I don't know that my first reaction is to throw at love. And when it is, I don't know that it's the most useful reaction and response that I can give. Because there are things that are at odds with who I am and that are at odds with who I want to be and the vision that I have of my world. And so when those things come up, I am okay with feeling anger, outrage, sadness, terror, fear, gut-wrenching tears of emotion. Because those, again, like I said, we were talking about last week with those knee-jerk reactions, Those are the things that signal to me that something is out of balance in my world. And what is it that I need to understand more? What is it that I need to heal more in an effort to get to the place of loving compassion, right? Can we get to the place of loving compassion without saying that all of those other things are not good? You know, I posted up an article that says, "I don't love them, and meet a Buddhist anti-fascist." And it's interesting because, you know, one of the things in her article was saying, yeah, I don't love these anti, you know, these white supremacists. I don't love them. But she also said in there, if you really read it, that it's something that she's working towards, is that humility of understanding that I am humbled by my very human reactions, by my very human response to things. I am humbled by that. I may not be grateful for it yet, but I can work towards that. I may not have love and compassion towards that, but I'm working towards it. And I might not have love and compassion to myself because I'm feeling anger or hatred. Let me ask you something. When you hear about natural disasters, when you heard about, you know, everything that happened in Texas, when you hear about things that happened in Florida and in the Keys and in the Caribbean, in the Bahamas, in Nepal, in Mexico, all of these natural acts of you know, crazy, horrible things, we feel sadness. I mean, I have been crying almost daily on some level, either tearing up unexpectedly or just outright crying, or I see something that triggers me and I feel the sadness. And in that sadness, it's very easy for me to go, oh, I feel so much compassion and love and empathy, right? Why is it spiritually okay for us to feel sadness, but to not feel anger or to not feel fear in that same way, with that same level of compassion towards ourselves? Why do we have the need to tamp that down when we're confronted, right? Is grieving, one of the stages of grieving is anger, right? But we excuse that as part of the grieving process. Why can we not take that and excuse it as part of the spiritual activist process? That when we feel anger and outrage, we don't need to send it love and light. We need to understand why it is we're feeling that. What is it there that is triggering us? And it's not the first answer, right? It's not that white supremacists suck. It's not that Nazis suck. Let's dive deeper. What does that mean to you personally? And then what? And then what? And then what? And get to the core of where this is coming from, right? Get to that core of what's going on and clear it within yourself first. Being the message means that as spiritual activists, those emotions that we have are so natural and so much the same type of empathy we feel when we are saddened and horrified by natural disasters. Disasters in the making have the same effect physiologically on us as disasters that were made. And so as spiritual activists, what is it about that that we can dive in and go, I'm feeling this and it's perfect, right? I am feeling sadness because of the natural disaster. I am feeling anger because of the disaster, the man-made disaster, right? What if both of those things were right and perfect? And we take that not as a clue to, you know, shut it down, shut it off, cleanse it with love, but actually look at the shadow side of that. Actually look into it and say, how can I have more compassion? How can I work towards being more compassion? What is it about this that I'm really, really upset about? Right? What am I confused by? What am I angry at? Dive in. We've been given all of these amazing spiritual gifts. Why the hell aren't we using them when it comes to things that piss us off? And not by saying, oh God, this pisses it off. I'm going to release it, release it, release it. Get rid of it. Pushing it away, almost in spiritual panic, saying, I'm sending love. I'm sending love. I love you. I love you. I love you. I'm so grateful for the lessons that you're sending me. Because when we do it that way, we're actually not elevating ourselves spiritually. We're reacting and putting band-aids on the situation. And we're not really truly getting to a place of loving compassion and gratitude. Because until we really understand and unfold and sit upon what it was that triggered us in the first place, we cannot go about truly changing it in the world. So that anger and that outrage and that hatred really is asking us to be okay with being upset, and it's asking us to look at the shadow side of that within ourselves. Because when we can figure out how to truly heal it and we get to a place of true love, like I just, you know, I'm not to that place yet where I can go, oh, I love you Nazis, I'm sending you love, right? But I can learn to understand in myself why it is not okay, why that line is crossed. And I know that there's some basic generalizations like, you know, don't hate people for no reason. But, you know, as we get deeper into what is that root fear and we start healing that within ourselves, then we can assist the world in healing that as well. Then we can say, okay, I am a bridge. Because there's people on this side and this side, and I'm going to bridge this gap. And that's what love and compassion is. Love and compassion isn't saying this is good and this is evil. This is saying this is where I live, somewhere in this neutral zone in between, so that I can navigate people to come to true balance. Right? It's not by ignoring or spiritually sugarcoating the bad, it's by understanding it more and walking towards it and embracing it. And until you're ready to really do that, sending it love and light is actually separating yourself from it a little bit more until you're ready to really come from a heart space of truth. And there may be some areas where you're more willing to get to the truth than others. There may be some things that in this entire lifetime you will always hate. And I'm going to tell you right now that that's okay, because you're not the fucking Buddha, right? There are things that we can work towards. But the only way we can work towards it is by accepting our own humanity and being humble with that and saying, you know, instead of actually saying, I hate those people, and I'm grateful for that, you know, hating them, maybe we can learn to be grateful to the hate. Maybe we can start to be loving towards our own hatred, right? And embracing that just a little bit more so that we could say, okay, I'm embracing my hatred. I'm feeling compassionate to my own hatred. Now, what is it here that I need to learn spiritually? What is it here that I can learn to really evolve into, right? You may never release the hate, but we can send love and compassion towards it by understanding it more. When we don't understand it and we push it away and pretend to send love and light, we're not actually healing anything. We're actually going into a state of denial. But by really looking at it and really doing the hard work, right? By really saying, this is unacceptable to me. And why? then not only can we learn to understand both sides of the bridge more, then we can become the bridge and we can say, this is how we fix this, right? This is how we move forward. This is how we collectively, through my own example, can live on both sides in harmony. This is how we can weave our tapestries together to make a full picture, right? So, yes, I am 1,000% for loving things, being compassionate towards things, even those things that we hate, but not in lieu of understanding what it is that we're hating. Not in lieu of going through the grieving stages and having that be okay. We feel fear, we feel grief, we feel sadness, we feel outrage, right? And we can feel all of those things as the process of getting us towards real, true love and compassion. Because it's a bridge, right? It's a bridge of understanding. It's a bridge of healing those wounds within ourselves. Heal or heal thyself, right? And I know that that's seems so insignificant in light of everything that's happening in the world right now. But there's such truth in that. Because when we come from a place of only light or we come from a place of only hate or anger, we're not healing the rift. We have to actually sew it back together and mend it. There will always be light and dark. There will always be good and bad. There will always be two sides to everything. And so what if instead of worrying about one side dominating over the other, we work at sewing back it back together so it works more cohesively as a whole? It was like when Peter Pan lost his shadow, he actually sewed it back onto his foot, right? So that it would stay there. And that's really poignant when you think about it, right? It's a part of us. So if we are spiritually sugarcoating it without actually understanding it, without actually healing it, we're walking around shadowless and that's not useful. We need both sides to be able to heal the world. Excuse me. We need both sides, right? We need the light and the dark, and we need to understand both in order to heal it, to move forward. So, that part of the article that I posted in the group of, you know, I don't love them, is part of that healing process, right? It's part of that really being true and really being in integrity and really being in honesty and full vulnerability of saying instead it's like, you know how, I mean, one of the things that people complain about are you know, these brands that go out and say, this is the perfect life and I have this perfect life and look at me, you know, up arms in the air celebrating my perfect empowerment and beautiful abundance and all of that, when they're actually struggling with all of it. And that's what's going around saying I am in love and light all of the time is really like, because it's not the full picture. It's a snapshot in time. And our full picture is, unless you are in an ashram meditating all of the time, you cannot help but be impacted by world events. Even if you're not paying attention to them, there is something in the collective consciousness that will always impact you. And when that impacts you and when you notice it and when you turn your dial up on that so that you can be realistic with what you're feeling and you can start expressing that more beautifully, then we can start healing the shadow within each of us. And when we start healing the shadow within each of us, what happens is we start healing and mending everybody's shadow in the world. And we could start sewing on those shadows to our little shoes so that we could be whole humans. Whole humans. Whole spiritual activists. Because it's from the place of wholeness that we will heal the world. And as spiritual seekers, as spiritual beings, that's our real job, right? Is to try to be as whole as we can in however that shows up. Whether it shows up 100% of the time as love and light. And by the way, if you're that person, total kudos to you. I'm speaking for me as me. Hey, Megan, I just saw your post. Hi, Rebecca. Megan, okay, I love that. Rebecca, not true at all. That's the key. Not true at all. Don't believe anything I say, right? I don't know why I wasn't on the comments. Sorry about that, guys. So from a place of wholeness, that's where we make change. And so, you know, I'm going to say this. I will continue to confront my anger and my hatred, and I will continue to try to understand it more. And I will also continue to spread love and light. I will continue to meditate. There's nothing wrong with doing that. As long as I am working towards the wholeness so that this becomes more powerful. When we're fractured, this helps and it serves us to be more whole. And I'm sure at some level you're helping to heal the world even just doing the meditation. And I gotta tell you, I want this to be this powerful, not this powerful. And when I work on being whole with my anger and my love, and all sides of myself, then this naturally, automatically gets stronger. And so I will continue meditating and you know, sending as much love as I am honestly able to, right? I'm not going to fake my way through meditation and love because let's face it, we're not going to fool God, right? We can get down on our knees and pray, but if we're not sincere, she knows. Right? If we're not sincere, our entire energy won't be behind our words or our actions. Even if there's one little kernel of holdback that you're unsure about, our entire energy won't be moving forward. So if there's a pea under your mattress and you're trying to get a good night's sleep, the one thing that you can do the best as a spiritual truth seeker is to turn the light on the pea and say, hello, pea, who put you there? What are you? Are you edible? Are you dried? How can we move you? Right? Remove your peas to make your love and light way better. So Megan, truth. Our inner selves also know too, inauthenticity harms us first, right? And so we know when we're sending love and light as a spiritual crutch, right? We know. I am so grateful for this lesson. Like hell I am. That lesson freaking sucked. I am not ready to be grateful for the lesson because I don't have the gift of hindsight yet, right? I am not grateful for this. So why am I telling myself I'm grateful? Because some spiritual guru told me that gratitude is the best place to come from. No, sometimes the best place to come from is your honest self of saying, I am not happy with this lesson. Why the fuck am I having it? And how can I not have this fucking lesson again? Right? There's something to that level of honesty that will actually escalate your spirituality and your spiritual activism and your growth in this lifetime by quantum leaps versus dropping into a place of gratitude when you're just not there yet. That's not to say that you won't get there. That's not to say at some point you're not 100% grateful and loving for that experience. Right? It just doesn't mean, it just means that you don't necessarily have to pretend like you are today so that you can keep up the facade of being spiritual. And maybe that's a really rude way of saying it, but I'm saying it rudely because I know this of myself and that there's so many times when I have spiritually sugarcoated something for myself and it's bit me in the ass in ways that I did not expect. You know, and so I know that I am being demanding of myself, and I am being demanded of this different state of being completely in harmony with all the parts of myself, right? And I think that we lose that sometimes on the spiritual path, that we get so involved with the oming that we forget that the oming is actually coming out of a human throat, right? Out of a human mouth. And that part of learning to be both and is really the key to being the most powerful spiritual activist on this planet. So moving forward, you know, we need to examine where we are okay with our emotions and where we're not, where we are shoving things under the rug of love and light, and where we need to kind of peel back the rug and vacuum that shit up a little bit, right? The rug gets lumpy if you keep sweeping things under. That sweeping under is not serving us. And it's not serving the world, because right now we have all these lumpy, bumpy rugs of people that have been shoving things under there for a very long time. And this includes the Nazis and the KKK and the white supremacists who have been, you know, pretending to not be that for a long time. Shoving it under the rug, right? Pretending that we are loving and lighting. Pretending that ignoring the news will make it better, because we don't need that negativity in our life. And we don't have negativity in our life, then we are spiritually attained, right? Everywhere that you're pretending is leaving a lump in the cosmic rug. You're leaving peas under the mattress of the universe. And so if we can look at it and say, my ultimate dream spiritual self is that self that actually comes from a place of true love, true light, true compassion, true understanding. And if I know that that's where I'm headed towards, then I can start purposefully peeling back that rug and looking at a little dust bunny that I can clear up. Because that, Rebecca, collective lumps add up, right? That lumpy bumpiness is just not okay, right? It causes things like climate change. So I think that will wrap us up for today. Just because there's so much work here to be done. And there's so many habits that we've built up in the spiritual world. You know, so many gurus and spiritual leaders have made it possible for us not to have to be anything other than arms up on the beach at sunset, right? That's the way we're supposed to be when we're fully spiritually attained. And in reality, it's a lot messier than that. And so if we can learn to get messy and do some spring cleaning every time we feel that hatred, indignation, fire, things that fire us up, and we take the time to say, and what else do I believe? And why is this impacting me? And how can I heal this more in myself in an effort to get to that place of gratitude and love? And there's some things that may never reach there, but I'm going to do my damnedest to try to understand how I can be more. Rebecca, fuck it. I love a good righteous rage, right? Righteous rages are awesome. They feel really good. And I get to be that, and I get to be that in an informed way. The more I know and understand, the more that righteous rage can really hold huge impact. If I take the time to really understand and in an effort to be compassionate and loving, if I can understand what the hell's going on, then when I'm in that righteous rage, I am building a bridge instead of tearing it down. Rebecca, everything has a right to exist. I don't have to react in a way that harms. Exactly. And that's like what we talked about last week, was that knee-jerk reaction of like, you know, those knee jerks are really useful. That rage is really useful because it tells us that something is triggering us. And so if we take that lesson and we say, okay, this is doing it, let's get more information, let's learn more about it, and to be a truth seeker, that also means that we get to truth seek on this other leg, which is that spiritual leg of saying, okay, what's this truth for me spiritually? What is the approach? What is it about this in myself that I need to heal first? What's the truth of what's going on in the world? And what is the truth of what's going on within my own psyche? And if we can get to the point where both of those things are merging, then I bet that will all of a sudden become a bridge for the world. We'll become that needle and thread and start sewing up some of those rifts, right? We do not have to react in a way that harms. Amen, right? It is okay to not love them and still not respond in a way that harms, but to actively seek the thing that heals. That's who we are, right? We're healers. Spiritual people are naturally healers. So in order to save the world, we have to save ourselves. Microcosm, macrocosm. And Rebecca, isn't this just such a case of othering, right? Every time we other, we actually peel the rift apart. And when we're in anger and rage and all that, we're othering people, right? It's us against them. Instead of saying, okay, wait, where can I understand them more? Where can I understand how to heal that rift more? Within myself? And then understand more about the truth so that I can heal others. So I'm going to sign off for today. I'm not sure what we'll be chatting about next week, but I'm sure it'll come up. I'm hoping that these conversations are still useful and viable. We had a small-ish crowd today, but I also was offline all week and did not promote it. So I'm sure we'll get a lot of people on the replay. And until then, my beautifuls, my lovely spiritual activists, go out. Your one task this week, your one inspired action, is to actually start looking at the emotions that you're really having and being really honest about them. And just to get into that state of truth observing. Just observe what responses you're having to things, and notice what your first response to them is. Is it a knee jerk, or is it a spiritual sugarcoat? Are you okay with those? Just start noticing notice your responses and notice your natural reaction to them. Okay? So I love you guys. Much love. You're welcome for the coffee break, Rebecca. Love the company, and much love to you both. Bye, Megan. Thank you, guys. Love you.